Welcome back to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. I'm Steve Zwemke. Just a reminder, SDPB covers the South Dakota High School Football Championships on SDPB-TV and online at sdpb.org/football. Coverage continues all day today and Saturday. Follow along at hashmark SDFootball18. We tweet at SDPBSports. As we continue, people's right to healthy and sustainable food is the focus of the South Dakota Hunger Summit next Tuesday in Mitchell. Michael Prait is the Food Sovereignty Coordinator with Rosebud Economic Development Corporation. He's also the keynote speaker for this year's Hunger Summit at Dakota Wesleyan University in Mitchell. Prait found his calling in food security following graduation from Fordham University in New York with a degree in theology. He found his way to the Rosebud Reservation in the south central part of South Dakota with the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. Since accepting the Food Sovereignty Coordinator position, Prait has brought in more than $500,000 in grant money. Michael Prait joins us this morning by phone. Michael, it's good to meet you. Thank you for being with us.
Steve, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Great. Let's start by explaining food sovereignty. Just what does food sovereignty mean?
Sure. So I would say at a basic level, food sovereignty is about communities having control over what they eat in terms of who's producing it and how it's produced. Mm-hmm. I think it has elements of more maybe commonly known movements like the local foods movement, which is kind of about, you know, location and regionality, of food security, which is, you know, people having access to enough nutritional food,
right.
And food justice, which is, you know, kind of more equitable access for all people. So it's a global movement, that is also very open to communities being able to define it for themselves. And I think that's a key part of it.
Things like working toward ecological sustainability and employing proper agricultural methods are part of this as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the means of production is as important as the actual food. And it's thinking about the sustainability of our world. So thinking about really, you know, how we're producing food is just as important as do people have enough to eat.
There's another term that comes into play, and maybe you can provide some more explanation on this. And the term is culturally appropriate foods, as we talk about food security issues. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, so I mean, culturally appropriate is really important. Just thinking about how many diverse peoples and communities there are, you know, even just right here in our own state. You know, not everybody eats the same thing. Not everybody's bodies have developed over the course of time to be eating the same things and to be needing the same things. So culturally appropriate, you know, is really touching on an individual community needs to be able to say what's healthy for them.
Yeah.
And what's necessary for them. You know, just thinking about our own community on Rosebud, you know, the types of foods that are needed there might not be the same as, you know, something from my home community in New York, which is, you know, more Italian, Irish immigrants. Just different foods. People have been eating different foods for, you know, throughout their history. So it's important to be able to leave room where the food pyramid, right, might not be the same and as beneficial for all people equally.
Yeah, all health related, because research has shown that different people are maybe more susceptible to things like diabetes or things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sure. Or lactose intolerance or,
sure,
you know, gluten intolerance or, right? Totally.
Yeah. Michael Prait, you have an interesting story. You lived in New York City and ended up in Rosebud. That would be a huge life change for most anybody. Tell us your story.
So I mean, I was living in the Bronx, going to college there. Just towards the end of my time, I started thinking really seriously about, what it would look like to live a meaningful life. And I wanted to take time to really live that out and explore what that meant. So I joined a Jesuit Volunteer Corps, which is a national service group. And that brought me to Rosebud when I was working in the community of St. Francis, doing some teaching, doing some disc jockeying on the local radio station, you know, working at the local juvenile detention center, just a little bit of everything. And, you know, it was definitely a shift, but it was a really welcome one. I like being outside. I'm a very physically active person. And, you know, I love it. I love the people here. I love the community. And it's a place that I've, feel like I've found a lot of good life that I've lived in the last few years.
After ending up in Rosebud, how did you finally end up in your position as the food sovereignty coordinator?
Sure. I actually started a little community garden in St. Francis. This is the first time I'd ever even grown anything. We're city people, a lot of concrete jungle. So it was my first time that I had really done growing. And I just fell in love with it, you know, working with the earth and the dirt, and, you know, being able to feed people is something that I found a lot of joy and passion for. At the same time, the Food Sovereignty Initiative through REDCO was just kind of getting off the ground. And I was just volunteering there for the summer to help with what now is our Kiawak Ball Gardens, our 1 acre garden incubator farm that we run. It was just getting off the ground. So I was volunteering, just helping to keep some of the plants alive in the first year when hardly anything was established. And by the end of that summer, the director position was still unfilled, and I applied, and I've been here since.
Michael Prate is our guest. He's Food Sovereignty Coordinator with the Rosebud Economic Development Corporation, and he'll be the keynote speaker Tuesday in Mitchell at the South Dakota Hunger Summit that's being held on the campus of Dakota Wesleyan University. Michael, it sounds like teaching is a big part of being the Food Sovereignty Coordinator for REDCO. Are you working with young and old people alike, sharing of information and in reaching your goals?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say we work pretty heavily with younger populations. But I would say sometimes even more than me or our program doing teaching, a lot of what we're trying to do is provide opportunities for some of our local community members to really kind of do some of that teaching. There's a lot of knowledge that's held in our community, especially with some of our elders. So kind of what we're looking to do is just help provide those spaces where people can bring forth that knowledge, because it's always going to be more powerful coming from somebody you know or somebody that, you know, you kind of have an awareness of. So, yeah, I'd say that teaching, and especially, you know, especially with young people who are going to be, you know, kind of leaders coming up, but really are just, those are the people that are going to be able to make this change. If you grow up with a way of life that's healthy and powerful, then that becomes the norm for everybody going forward. Yeah. So that's definitely a focus.
Teaching for sure, but also sharing with respect to the people that have lived there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that's an even more important part. You know, there's a lot of people here that know how to grow food, that know how to hunt, that know how to process animals, that know how to, you know, harvest wild berries or roots, or, you know, there's a lot of knowledge around food that's been here. And it's really important to honor that. You know, we're not necessarily coming in doing anything, you know, totally new or, you know, trying to shake things up so bad that it's like a totally foreign idea. This is something that people are already aware of, even just a generation back. So it's kind of just helping people have the opportunities to remember that.
As we're touching on some of the things you do, you've already mentioned the community garden, which I know is very big. Are there any other programs you've started out there that we haven't touched on that you'd like to visit about?
We also do a farmer's market that we have going on Rosebud that takes place in Mission once a week. Right now it probably runs 3 months out of the year. We're looking to expand that both to other communities and in terms of the length. And the other big focus I would say is traditional Lakota foods. So we've done things like taking kids from the Boys and Girls Club out to do wild food harvesting, or providing indigenous meals for, you know, big gatherings, family gatherings, or, you know, school events. And then recently we've been able to start regularly having buffalo harvests in partnership with the middle school. So this, you know, actually only within a month, I guess, we partnered with the Todd County Middle School Student Council to have a buffalo harvest and, you know, do everything from the processing to the butchering and the freezing, you know, everything start to finish.
That's interesting. It sounds also like you have a flair for raising grant money. You've done well in that area. Can you talk about that a little bit and how some of that grant money gets applied to what you're doing on Rosebud?
Sure. That's necessary part of nonprofit life. We've been fortunate, I think, that we have a good story that people are invested in and believe in. I'd say that, you know, when we're looking to raise funds, we're always trying to make sure that we put those dollars to use for the community. That's not something that, we're gaining just for our program to benefit from or select mm-hmm. few. You know, we always have to keep everybody in mind, whether it's people that we're currently interacting with or people that we want to interact with. Always thinking about how we can expand our outreach to just widen the circle of who's able to be involved and to have ownership over what we're doing. So that's what I'd say is, you know, as we've gotten more developed as a program, we've gotten better and better at being really specific and concrete about what we want to accomplish and how we can best put any resources that we leverage to use for our community.
When you speak to the attendees at the South Dakota Food Summit next Tuesday, is there even more to your message? Is there something we haven't touched on here this morning on In the Moment that you'll impart to the people that go to Mitchell on Tuesday?
Sure. I think, it's just kind of providing a little bit of a context and a background around our work and what we're doing, touching on, you know, just the historical realities of food systems in the state, especially for our native communities. And I think just talking about, you know, what food sovereignty as a concept has to offer is it's a really broad and wide reaching idea. You know, it's not just about feeding people and it's not just about, you know, empowering producers to go to market. It's really systems level thinking. And I would say community level thinking. It keeps every facet of the system and of the community in mind.
Yeah.
To develop in a sustainable way. So I think that's just, you know, the more that we can do that as people that are advocating for food justice or you know,
yeah,
food
and
that's beneficial.
I believe they just had a conference as well on the Standing Rock Reservation in North Central South Dakota. So it's a message that is spreading. Michael Prate, we're out of time, but I certainly want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Michael Prate, Food Sovereignty Coordinator with the Rosebud Economic Development Corporation. Michael, thanks for your time and enjoy your time in Mitchell.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good one.